opportunity again to praise and worship in your name. We'd ask that you be with those that weren't able to be here this evening and pray for the next thing. We'd ask that you bless and uplift all those on our prayer list today. And we'd ask all these things in your son's name.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Justin. Thank you, church. Thank you, everyone, for being here this evening. We thank our Facebook listeners. We've been getting more than our share of late, and I'm thankful for that. Always thankful when people want to tune in to God's word being preached in God's houses. If you will, turn to Isaiah 46. We have, I told the church earlier, due to a new short series of messages I'm going to preach about Jesus Christ on Sunday morning, I have moved this message about God to our Wednesday night study so that I like to preach Jesus as much on Sunday as I can, Sunday morning, because that's usually if we're going to have visitors when we have them. It's always good for them to hear about the sovereignty of God and how God is control of things, but it's also good to hear them to hear how to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ our Savior. I'm very excited about the new study coming up. I've been working on it some today. I'll get back to it soon. And get most of it, hopefully most of it done before Sunday morning, but it'll be like 2 or 3 weeks probably. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. I'm really enjoying studying. So we've gotten into this sermon, and we've studied 3 weeks. We spent 3 Sunday mornings just on the introduction to it. We now come to our first of probably 3 points. I'm not done with it, but I think 3 is probably going to do it. And these 3 points all together probably won't be as long as the introduction, which is okay because we have a lot to say. When you talk about God, you have a lot to say, don't you? And I'm always thrilled to study about our sovereign God. But we titled this series of messages, There is none else but God. He says that in his word. We read that several times. There is no power greater, no knowledge greater, no anything greater than God. And there is nothing, no anything better are more greater than Jesus Christ. Jesus is God in the flesh. So for anyone to compare God to anybody else or anything else in any shape, form, or fashion is an insult to God. God is omni. That means all. He's all holy. He's all present. He's all knowledge. He's all everything. He's all everything. Every single thing God is. Pure as a gold that runs through the heaven itself. Just as pure can be, is our God. And the message was titled, Fear None Else, and that's who we need to fear. But the reason we need to fear him is who he is. People don't know God. That's the problem with people. They don't know God. Even a lot of Christians today don't know God. Anyone who does not know God as the sovereign, glorious being that he is, full of love, grace, and mercy, does not know God. If the God you worship is not sovereign, if he is not in control of everything, if he is not the final authority of everything, then you are not worshiping the God of truth and the God of the Bible and the God of the universe. This world did not start, as Darwin said, by some cell that dropped off of another planet, dropped down into an ocean here on Earth, and all of a sudden started in a fish, I guess. I've never really studied evolution much, but I read a little bit about it and came out on the beach and was a monkey and then turned eventually a monkey and then eventually turned into a man, and all of a sudden evolution just stopped. The only problem with it, there's no God. There's no creator. And where did life come from? Where did those planets come from? Where did that cell come from? How did evolution just stop all of a sudden? Why have we still got monkeys coming out of the sea or whatever that does? Because it's all about climate change. It's all fake. It's all false. It's all nothing but lies. It's just like those that believe in the universal invisible church. They say, well, it started in Acts 2. But you take them in the Bible and you turn to Acts 2 and you say, show me where the church started. Click. I want to block you. Because they don't want to challenge you because they can't. Nowhere in Acts 2 did the church start there. Nowhere else did life come from. God tells us in His Word how things came about. Did He not? He said He created the world. He said that after creation it was dark and the Spirit of God walked upon the face of the earth. Nothing but water. And it was void and dark. And God lit it up with His glory. Because He can do that. Where do you think the sun gets her power? She gets all that power from God. All power and glory comes from God. All of it. And then God started creating. And He got down the sixth day and put some dirt together and formed a body. And it just laying there on the ground. And God breathed into His nostrils and breath of life. And it became a living soul. Wow, isn't that something? Well, that's how the world got created. That's how everything else got created. That's how man got created. And then God did something that's from marvelous, didn't He? You know what He did? He put that man to sleep. He didn't need an anesthesiologist. He did it Himself. God can do that, you know. He knows how to do that stuff. He's not only a great God, He's a great physician too. He's a great Savior too, isn't He? Amen. You know what else God did? After He put that man to sleep, He opened him up. Surgery. And you know what God did? He took a rib. And then you know what God did? He sewed the man back up, whatever he did. And then He healed him. And then, wow, and then God, look what God did. He took that rib and made a woman. Not another man, but a woman. And called her a helpmeet to the man. Not the boss, not the commander, but a helpmeet to the man. All those things God did on His own. God didn't need us. He didn't need anybody, did He? You know what else God did? We don't know when or exactly how everything took place, but God created the heavens. I'm not talking about the first, second. I'm talking about the heavens above all. The King of God. The kingdom of God sitting up there above everything else. Created all them angels. Innumerable. The Bible calls them innumerable. It means they can't be counted. God knows them. People, men up there with their big old gigantic telescopes looking all up in the heavens. You know what they say? They see only what God lets them see. And then they pretend to tell us how many galaxies we have and how many stars are in those galaxies. And they even name them. The galaxy, not the stars. There are too many for them to name. But you know what there are not too many for? God to name them. God named every star, every planet. Everything He's created, He has a name for. He has a name for you, He has a name for me. He knows our frame. He knows everything about us there is to know. There's nothing God doesn't know. He knows every thought, every action. We hide nothing from God. You know what else is so remarkable about God? Now me, it's pretty easy, but somebody like Frank back there has got a whole head full of hair, or some of you ladies, he knows every hair on your head. Number them. See, when you're omniscient or knowledgeable, there's nothing you don't know. And what else was known to God? All God's work was known unto him from the foundation of the world. That means before the world was created, God knew everything. God's not the one waiting for tomorrow to happen to find out what's going to be. God already knows what's in tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. And every how many days this world has left, God knows every one of them already. You know why? Because before Abraham was, I am. God is eternal. He's on the other side of eternity. He's on the other side of this world. He's already there. God is the eternal God. No beginning, no ending. If that's not the God you worship, you are worshiping a false God. God is the God that saves sinners. He says, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Amen. God said that. I didn't say it. God said it. Well, it was to the Jews. No, it was to the Gentiles and Jews. If you're saved tonight, God saved you. If you think you're saved tonight, you're lost. And God hasn't saved you. Because if God saved you, you know it. You felt the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in your heart.
Amen.
Speaking of God, let's go to Isaiah 46, verse 10. A scripture you know very well. Scripture I love very well. Declaring the end from the beginning, and the ancient times and the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. He goes on, if you want to go on and read, I'm not going to for a second time. I have a lot to talk about tonight, in the short time I have. We're going to go to the book of Acts next, if you want to go ahead and turn over there. But God, the same God I've been talking about, who knows all of his works from the beginning of the world. Which if God really does save sinners, and he does, then that work was known to him before the foundation of the world, wasn't it? What do you think the eternal covenant between the Father and Son was? When do you think that happened? Who exactly did God give to Jesus before the world ever began? And Jesus recognized that the Father gave them to him, didn't he? John 17 and other places. And he says, of those that my Father give me, how many will you lose? None. Here, in Isaiah 46:10, the Word is declaring the end from the beginning. Time the world will end to the time the world began. God declared that time. He ordained it. He predestinated it. It's already set in place. He's already told us so much, hasn't he? What prophecy hasn't been fulfilled? Revelations, isn't it? Revelations 4, all the way into the end, has not been fulfilled. It's still prophecy, isn't it? the tribulation period hadn't come. I don't care what people say. They can disagree where we want to. I still love them if they're saved. But I'm just telling you, that hasn't happened yet. But God's already declared it, hasn't he? The word declaring, when he says he declared the end from the beginning, the word declaring is very important. Most people don't look at that word. They never study the word. You know, if you don't study the words in the Bible, you're missing a great treat. So they don't know. And one reason they don't know is because they don't believe. They don't believe in sovereign God. They don't believe in a God that declares the end from the beginning, or the beginning from the end, or wherever you want to look at it. The word means front. I'm sorry, to front, to manifest, or expose. So what is God fronting? Or what is God manifesting to us? The end from the beginning. The end of what? The end of time. From the beginning of time. Go to Acts chapter 15, if you will. I quoted this a while ago. I'm going to go ahead and read it now. In verse 18, Acts 15, verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Before the world was ever created, God was omniscient. Or God eternally knew everything. When did God know that we were going to sin? When did God know that Adam was going to sin? After he sinned? No. God already knew Adam was going to sin before he ever created him. See, God is eternal. And the reason that God knows all of his works from the beginning of the world is because God is eternal. And he doesn't change. That's the key. God doesn't change. Nothing ever changes about God. People say, well, the Bible's old, it needs to be changed. You can't change the Bible because it's the Word of God. You can't change God. If it's the Word of God, then it's God, isn't it? It belongs to God, doesn't it? He's the one that actually wrote that Word. Amen. Man may have penned it, but he wrote it through the power of the Holy Spirit. He sure did. Every word of it. So before the world was ever created, God knew everything. Every work. Every nick and every cranny, that, so to speak, that is in this world, God knows it. Did he have to? I mean, if he and Jesus, and people say, well, Jesus didn't exist till he was born on this earth, Jesus always existed. Amen. He's the Son of God. He's not a Son of God. He is the second part of the Trinity, the Son of God. He may have taken on a body when he was born in this world, but the Son of God existed for eternity past. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, the Word, Jesus, because of verse 14 of John 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Mm-hmm. Jesus, the Son of God. God had already made an eternal covenant with him. Why? Why did God make an eternal covenant with Jesus? Because he already knew we were going to sin. He already knew it. He knew this before the world began. They can deny it all they want to. It doesn't matter. Their denial is irrelevant to God's word. It's irrelevant to the truth. The truth is God knew us, you and me, whom were going to be saved before the foundation of the world.
He elected a fold of people, we call them a remnant of people, and gave them to the Son before the world ever began. And Jesus says, my Father gave them to me, and of them I shall lose nothing. So he already said that. I know I'm saying that. I'm saying it again. I want you to understand.
James 1, if you will. We must remember that God does not change. In James chapter 1, verse 17, the second part, in whom, speaking of God, and with whom, with God, is no variableness, neither shadow turning. The second part of the verse. I ain't read it all, I'm just reading the second part, that's what we want to use. There, with God, there is no variableness, nor shadow turning. So, well, what's that mean? Okay, let's break it down again. You got to look up words, don't you? Let's look up a couple words here. First word is variableness. What's it mean? It means there is no transmutation. I hope I pronounced that right. Which means there's no action of change or state of being change. In other words, it means there's no change in God at all, but it goes further and says that nothing with God's being ever changes. God's not an old man. God's not a man at all. God is a spirit. John 4:25. God is a spirit, and that's where we must worship him, as a spirit. Not as a man. God has said many times in his word that he is not a person. He is not a man. Men are liars. God is not. He's true. He doesn't change at all. Nothing. His mind never changes. Because he's all knowledge already. He was before he ever created anything. Because he doesn't change. Okay? So there's no variableness. And then the word shadow of turning. What's that mean? There's no shadow over the mutability. Most believe this means no change in this lower world can cast a shadow on the unchanging fount of light. Vine's Dictionary. That's where I got that. The meaning of this passage is God is alike incapable of change. Listen, and incapable of being changed by the action of others. All that's important. See, that's the reason word study is important. You have to understand that of God. You have to understand while we pray to God, and while we're sincere in our prayers, we don't know what we're praying about sometimes. Do we? We don't. We pray, you go apply for a job, and people tell me, Brother Randy, I apply for a new job, I really do want it. Please pray God gives it to me. But God doesn't give it to you. Does that mean God didn't hear our prayers? No. means God didn't have that job for you. God didn't have that house for you. God didn't have that car for you. God didn't give you that baby for a reason. God didn't give you that mate in your life for a reason. Because there's things we don't know, God does already know. And God knows, Romans 8:28, that all things work to the good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. How do they work to the good? Because God already knows. So we're not going to change God. All the prayers in this world together at one time, going up to God at one time, will not change God, His thinking, His ways, or anything about God. So why do we pray? One, it gives us a good heart, doesn't it, toward God, to know that God still hears our prayers. And God will answer those prayers that are consistent with His will. So it's not a waste of time. It's just that God doesn't give you what you want. Don't think bad of God because He didn't want you to have it. We're incapable of changing God's actions in any way, because God doesn't change one bit. He's already, before the foundation of the world, declared the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. God's not going to be in tomorrow. God's already in tomorrow. God's not going to be at the end of this world. He's already at the end of this world. See, time only exists in the world. Time doesn't exist anywhere else. What's a day? When does your day begin? Well, when I drag out of bed. No, your day begins when that sun comes up, doesn't it? In the morning. And your day ends when that sun goes down. Unless you work at night and then it goes, kind of goes through the dark. And then the next day is when that sun rises again. I know it starts at midnight. I'm just saying. The end of the evening and the morning were the first day. It's even backwards to what we have. The evening and the morning were the first day. So, because God is eternal, in the beginning was God. What else? Nothing. No angels. No heaven, no world, no people, nothing. It says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was God. So in the beginning was God, by Himself. He didn't have no counsel, didn't need no counsel. He didn't need our advice how to create things. He didn't need our advice about how to set laws. He didn't need us. He still don't need us. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need this church. He don't need any of us. He created us to bring blessings and glory to Him. Ain't that something? That's our life. That's what our life should be. Boy, don't a lot of people have that? Don't a lot of Christians have that messed up? Don't they have that confused? Where are they at on Sunday morning? They're not sitting in church, are they? No, no, no. They got better things to do than go to church. They'll find out. Because God is eternal, in the beginning was only God. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was nothing else. In the beginning was God. Was heaven created before the earth? I have no idea. Was the angels created before the earth? Don't get me lying. God doesn't say, does he? I mean, I've never read it in scriptures that God created heaven and then he created the angels. Then he created everything there and then he came down to the earth. The space where the earth was and spoke the world into existence. I don't know. This I do know. In the beginning, God was by himself. And then one moment, God just spoke the world into existence. And when he finished the world in Genesis 1, the Spirit hovered over the earth, walked on the earth, ever how he did it. He's a spirit. You know what a spirit is, right? It's just a breeze, right? You can't actually see it. Any of y'all ever, you think any doctors ever ripped somebody open or done an autopsy or, well, not an autopsy, but ever ripped anybody open in surgery, found their spirit? No, the doctors don't even know there's one there. That's the one thing they miss when they open somebody up, is their spirit. They can't see it. We can't see the Holy Spirit either, can we? The Lord says in John 3, it's like a breeze. So let's go to our second point. I won't get very far, but if you don't go turn to Isaiah 14, we'll get started with this. And then next Wednesday night, we'll come back to this, because like I say, on Sundays, I have a new message on Jesus I want to preach. So we'll back up and start with two, but I have about another 5 minutes or so, and I want to get into this and put this thought in your head. We've talked a lot about God, haven't we? What about the other God? There isn't one. Yes, there is. His name is Satan. He's a God. He's not God. He's not Jehovah. He's not Yahweh, but he's a God, isn't he? He's God over this earth, isn't he? He's God over the world, isn't he? Go to John chapter 8, verse 44 through 47, and read that and tell me that he's not a God. He has the people in this earth blinded. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He's the opposition to God. When Jesus comes back in Revelations, 19 or 20 or 19? He comes on the white horse, doesn't he? When Satan's Antichrist comes in Revelation 6, what's he come on? A white horse, doesn't he? You'll find throughout the scriptures, Satan always imitating God. When the Antichrist, the false prophet, come in tribulation, they're going to be able to raise the dead. They're going to be able to do a lot of things. They're actually going to bring peace to the world. Because they have the power of their God, Satan. So what about Satan? Who is he? Well, this is who I believe he is. I believe he's a fallen angel. God created Satan for the sole purpose of being evil. Satan didn't fall in heaven because he was not predestinated and ordained to fall. He was predestinated and ordained to fall. He was created to be evil. It doesn't matter that he might have been an angel for a little bit of time and a powerful angel in heaven. He was created to fall. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Now, a lot of people say that I'm wrong about this, and a lot of people say I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right, but I believe I'm right. I believe this is Satan. I believe Lucifer is Satan, without question. And I understand, I read in commentaries why they believe that I'm wrong. I'll point it out to you. He says in verse 12 in Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" That's the reason they say I'm wrong. How can he be evil if he's the son of the morning? Again, that later. "How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Stars can be messengers or angels. "And I will sit down upon the sit also upon the mount of the congregation and in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Sounds like Satan to me, doesn't it? Doesn't it to you, like he fell? Some say this isn't Satan because he was called Son of the Morning. The name Lucifer means the bright star, the morning star, alluding the star of Venus, which is the morning star, which ushers in light of the morning and shows that day. They say this keeps this angel from being Satan. I disagree. It doesn't matter what we think these are. It doesn't matter what Satan once might have been, what Lucifer might have been as an angel before. He fell. The son of the morning is Jesus Christ, isn't it? The one that sits on the circle of the earth and on the circle of everything else is God, isn't it? And that's where he wants to be. He wants to be God. So God calls him a God in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, doesn't he? He calls him the God of this world. So we can debate this all they want, but this is Satan, I guarantee you. And he fell from heaven. And not only did he fall, with his tail, it says in Revelation, he dragged 1/3 of the population of heaven with him. They fell with him. I could say more, but I'm not going to get into it because people want to debate. Well, you don't have scripture for this, you don't have scripture for that. That's okay. So we all know that Lucifer was good at one time, wasn't he? But he fell. Adam was good at one time too, wasn't he? But he fell, didn't he? Why did he fall? He said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Verse 13, and in 14, it says, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I'll be an imitation of God." If he had his way, he would be God. But see, he's nothing more or less than a created being. A created being cannot be God. At all.
God is a self-existing being that nobody can be like him. But God didn't create other gods. He is our most jealous God. Amen. And every time his creatures that he saved by grace through the blood of his own son doesn't obey him and falls before him, it's not a good thing. It's not good for them. I hope y'all have a wonderful week. Let me get this shut down.